It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello, hello, hello. It is, what day is it? It's Tuesday, February 16th, 2021. And this is the off-the-grid version of News to Me. This is DJ Marcus. I'm without power at home. So I have an iPhone with AT&T, and I hooked up a streaming service to it. So that's how I'm getting out. I have Firefox on my personal Android phone. But when I closed Firefox, I guess in a power saving move, it closed most of the news tabs. So I have them in my history, but it'll be a little slower than I'd hoped it'd be. And then I have Calm pulled up off of the hotspot of my personal phone so that I can talk to you. So we'll see how this goes. But yeah, as Publius was mentioning at the top there in Calm, the state basically has a shortage of power generation. And so much of the state is without power. And so a lot of places have their power cut off. In Austin, they've said they've turned off all non-essential circuit. And whenever they were describing that, they said circuit was essential if it had like a police station or a fire department on it, or if it had like a hospital or like downtown that circuit's on because the city hall is there. So even though the mayor and the officers are all like in their million-dollar houses out in the suburbs, they still have power. So anyway, that's fine. I've got the gas stove running, so I'm not frozen. But anyway, let's start the show the way we always do.
World news.
I don't know if that's very loud, but
world news.
Found a sized in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Officials say some 300 people have been rescued, but as many as 200 others are unaccounted for following the accident on the Congo River. Locals said the boat hit a rock east of the capital, Kinshasa, while traveling at night, which is prohibited. Many people use boats to travel long distances in the Democratic Republic of Congo because of its poor road network. Democratic Republic of Congo's humanitarian affairs minister, Steve Mbekei, told the BBC that he had received reports that the boat was overloaded and had been carrying passengers at night in breach of the law. These are the reasons that caused this wreck, with over 60 dead. We have managed to rescue 300 survivors, while search and rescue operations are ongoing, he added. The boat was making a journey of about 700 kilometers from the capital to Mbandaka City when it ran into trouble near the village of Longola Ikoti in the province of Mainobodi, AFP news agencies said. So it's very tragic that there was a loss. And if you go to the BBC's website, you can see a photo of a similar boat that was in this incident. And holy cow, it's a large boat, but it does not look sturdy. All right, let's see what we got going on. Hey, 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 just checking Calm. Big shout out to Publius and Jazzmaz and X1 and Ratsu. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Appreciate you much. And big shout out, if you are listening to the show, be sure to tune in to the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, which is at 1930 UTC. All right, so let's keep on a rolling. We got lots of stories to talk about. We just have to go. Two recently closed tabs. Oh. Boop, boop. All right. Dutch crisis as court orders end to COVID curfew. A court in The Hague has told the Dutch government that an overnight curfew to reduce the spread of coronavirus should be lifted immediately, ruling that it breaches the right to free movement. The court said the 2100 to 430 curfew was imposed by an emergency law when there was no acute emergency. The decision is a victory for the campaign group Virus Waarheid, which is, translates to virus truth. Prime Minister Mark Rutte urged people to follow the curfew, even if ministers failed to stop it being lifted. The government has asked the court to suspend its decision ahead of an appeal. Unless the court agrees, ministers will be unable to prevent the curfew from being lifted on Tuesday night. We haven't for a second considered scrapping the curfew, as it's simply necessary, said Mr. Rutte, who described the ruling as a setback. Curfews have been widely used in Europe to restrict movement. France has had a nightly curfew from 1800, but it stopped short of imposing a third lockdown. Greece has also imposed curfews, as have Spain and Italy. And, yeah, so that's going on. I don't have... Sorry, I'm not entirely familiar with the interface of this app. Several years ago, probably 4 years ago now, maybe. Wow, I've been doing this a while. Anyway, about 4 years ago, I had an iteration of this app, and I used to use it from the public library. I would go sit outside and use their Wi-Fi and do my radio show off of the phone. But anyway, enough of that. Yeah. So let's keep on rolling. Let's just go back here and let's look at our recently closed tabs. Congo. Oh, North Korea is up. North Korea accused of hacking Pfizer for COVID-19 data. North Korea attempted to steal COVID-19 vaccine technology from U.S. pharmaceutical company Pfizer, according to South Korean intelligence officials. It is currently unclear as to what, if any, data was stolen. South Korea's National Intelligence Agency privately briefed lawmakers about the alleged attack, reported local news agency Yonhap. The BBC has asked Pfizer for a comment, but it has yet to respond. North Korea has yet to report a single case of coronavirus. However, the country is due to receive 2 million doses of the AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine in the coming weeks. North Korea closed its borders in January last year, soon after the virus began to emerge in China. In November, Microsoft said at least 9 health organizations, including Pfizer, had been targeted by state-backed organizations in North Korea and Russia, said North Korean groups dubbed Zinc and Cerium, and a Russian group nicknamed Fancy Bear, were responsible. The Kremlin has denied targeting other countries' vaccine research. While many of the break-in attempts failed, Microsoft warned at the time that some had been successful. Since the start of the pandemic, states have been deploying their hackers as part of the coronavirus crisis. Some of this has been intelligence gathering, and some of it theft of intellectual property to gain advantage. So, yeah. Sorry, who knew? Apparently, if a state has hackers and other states have medical information, they will try and hack in and grab it. So that's kind of strike one in the obvious columns. Let's jump over to the Ukraine. This story blew my mind. Yeah, exactly. 100% Publius. Yeah. Whether North Korea has reported something is a different question from whether it has happened. Very true. Very true. Great job. All right. I don't know how to abort sound effects once I click on them. All right. So get this. This is ridiculous. This is wild. This comes to us from the Ukraine. Underwear is among confiscated items up for auction in Ukraine following bailiffs' raids on debtors. So pants were seized in the central city of Kryvyi Rih and are advertised on a Justice Ministry website for online auctions called Sedum. The starting price for one pair is 19.4 hryvnia, which is 50 cents or half a pound or 70 cents US. There have also been cases of the state auctioning off cows and sheep. The COVID pandemic has raised the number of registered Ukrainian debtors above 2 million. The number of debtors grew by 300,000 last year, according to official data seen by BBC Ukrainian. There was indignation on Ukrainian social media last year when two confiscated pet dogs were put up for sale, and an MP, Yevgeny Brahar, became the butt of jokes for suggesting that a hard-up pensioner should sell her dog in order to pay her bills. Justice Minister Denis Malyuska later suggested that auctioning debtors' pet dogs made less sense than selling more valuable domesticated animals. A report by the OECD, that's Oscar Echo Charlie Delta Economic Think Tank, in December says that due to the COVID-19 pandemic, Ukraine may face its worst recession in decades, leaving more than 9 million of its 41 million people in poverty. Bum, 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 bum. So, tough story there. Tough times. But I thought it was interesting that they would go as far as to selling people's underwear. Congo, North Korea. Korea, COVID. Oh, it's time for Japan. I thought this was an interesting story. Again, these are all interesting to me, but you know what I mean. Boop, boop, boop. Sorry, I've got a lot of ums and bleh because I'm spread out. This is not my normal operating process. All right. This comes to us from I originally saw this story on the BBC, but their story and their website were just so full of ads and like all sorts of garbage. I went to Al Jazeera and then I went to the AP. And so here's the AP story, AP's take on it. The Japanese operator of a bulk carrier that struck a coral reef and caused an extensive oil spill off the coast of Mauritius said Friday that the accident occurred after the ship shifted its course 2 miles closer to shore than planned so its crew members could get cell phone signals. That's right. Mitsui OSK Lines, that's Oscar Sierra Kilo Lines, said its investigation showed the accident was caused by human error, including inadequate nautical charts, navigation systems, and risk awareness, and a lack of supervision and safety monitoring. The company said the tanker's nautical chart provided little information about depth and other necessary information. Crew members on duty also failed to conduct safety checks visibly or by radar. The captain and crew members were also using their cell phones while on duty, the company said. It said it will invest about 500 million yen, which is 4.8 million US, to provide electronic nautical charts, training to strengthen safety culture, and other systems to enhance safety. The environmental disaster began July 25th when the ship MV Wakashio strayed off course and struck a coral reef. After being pounded by heavy surf for nearly 2 weeks, the ship's hull cracked, and on August 6th began leaking fuel into a lagoon, polluting a protected wetlands area and a bird and wildlife sanctuary. The company apologized for the damage, and in September offered 1 billion yen, which is $9 million, to fund environmental projects and support the local fishing community. More than 1,000 tons of oil spilled into the coastal water. About 3,000 tons remained on the ship, was pumped into barges, before the Wakashio broke into two pieces several days later. The island of St. Maurice. Oh, thank you. Publius, I can always count on you to help me figure out how to say these foreign words whenever I'm texasizing them. Anyway, it is 15 past the hour, so I just want to let you know that you are listening to...
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That is right. And you can tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 1900. You can catch news to me. As long as I have some way to get connected to the internet, I'll do the show. And then every day at 1930 UTC, Monday through Monday, every day of the week, you can catch the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. And Tobe is a trooper and does the show rain, shine, marmots or no marmots, greasy mess or not. So definitely check it out. That's coming up in about 14 minutes from now. We would usually do a song, but...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I have the sound effects.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
But I don't think I have a song. I'm going to check my files real quick. You know what I can do? I can look, since this is a new device or new program I'm using. Let me see. I think I might be able to grab other music. Let's see. Albums? Songs? Nope. It looks like I only have access to one comedy album. That's not going to be any good. Let's see. Do we have any songs in Dropbox? Radio? This is great radio. Sorry. I don't see anything. Guess we're going to have to just go without it. Okay. This isn't very smooth. Boop. So we'll go ahead and do some U.S. news, and then I've got some tech news for you. First up, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo acknowledged on Monday that his office should not have withheld data on COVID-19 nursing home deaths from state lawmakers, the public, and the press, falling short of an apology a senior aide made to lawmakers last week. Cuomo said at a press conference that lessons were learned in not releasing the data and that things should have been done differently. The last thing I wanted to do was aggravate a terrible situation, said Cuomo, a third-term Democrat. There were people's requests, press requests, that were not answered in a timely manner. More than 15,000 people have died in New York State's nursing homes and long-term care facilities from COVID-19, but as recently as last month, the state reported only 8,500 deaths. The numbers, while accounted for in the full state death totals to the state, were not ascribed to nursing homes for residents who died in hospitals rather than within the facilities. Requests from state lawmakers and the U.S. Department of Justice were made in August for full accounting, along with numerous requests from the media, Cuomo acknowledged. He said at the press conference that the state prioritized answering the Justice Department first, and other requests went unanswered. Angered by what they perceived as a cover-up last week, Democratic and Republican lawmakers said they were reconsidering their decision to grant Cuomo emergency powers to contend with the coronavirus pandemic. This is a betrayal of the public trust, Andrew Gunard, a Democratic state senator, wrote on Twitter. There needs to be full accountability for what happened. So we'll see how that plays out. I will just give an aside while I look through my history to get the next stories. The use of municipalities, the use of Twitter and Facebook by municipalities is just ridiculous and very upsetting to me, because if I want to know what's going on with my city or state, I can't go to their website. I can't listen to it on the radio. I have to go sign into a Facebook account and watch a Facebook live video, or I have to go to Twitter and look for an account that I can only assume is the energy authority. There's no telling. And then it's just totally inadequate. It's basically like a 400 character summary of something that should be a large blog post. So anyway, that's just my gripe as my feet get cold. All right. So what else is happening? Well, this isn't technology news. Sorry, everything's going out the window. And I touched the phone, so it made noise. Anyway, here's an air horn. We're throwing everything out the window. We're just going to go by what's in the history because everything's screwed up. There is a syringe shortage in Japan. Fears are growing in Japan, where an inoculation drive against COVID-19 will begin on Wednesday, that millions of doses of Pfizer vaccine could be wasted because of a shortage of special syringes that maximize the number of shots from each vial. The government has made urgent requests, but manufacturers are struggling to ramp up production fast enough, creating the latest headache for Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga, who suffers from weak public support. Yeah. It should definitely be, data should be available to all citizens. So whether you're deaf or blind, whether or not you have a computer, you should still be able to get the data, you know. So if it can't be read over the radio, then you're doing it wrong. And then even if it's over the radio, you also need to make it available online for the deaf community or put it out there. Anyway, I'm just very, it makes me very grumpy. Japan, with a population of 126 million last month, signed a contract with Pfizer to procure 144 million doses of the vaccine for its 72 million people. One vial is meant to contain six shots, but it takes special syringes that retain a low volume of the solution after injection to extract six doses, while the standard syringes the government had stored in preparation for the drive can only get five shots a vial. You'll remember in the U.S., it was a breakthrough when they figured out they could get six shots out of a vial. So that's kind of an interesting quirk. When asked last week, Cato did not directly answer questions about whether the shortage of ideal syringe meant the number of shots Japan could administer would be reduced, but on Tuesday he conceded, without it, there would be wastage. When it comes to what's left in vials and syringes, what's unused will be disposed of. Both a Pfizer Japan spokeswoman and a Japanese health ministry official declined to say whether the contract to supply Japan with 144 million doses of vaccine by the end of the year is based on six doses being taken from each vial. So, fingers crossed. Sorry to hear that from you, Japan. But all the best. Okay, now we jump over to our next one. Okay, am I back? Let's see. Okay. Oh, shucks on a duck. My history is full of the same stories that I just read. All right. Is this it? Nope. Close. Yep, I'm doing a great job. History. School. And a bunch of leaks in. I have a bunch of those in my history. Let's see. Grr. All right, we're going to read the LG news from Reuters. For the headlines, anyway. So, first up, Bitcoin has reached a new all-time high. Hit $1,000 per Bitcoin last night. It went back down. I don't know what it is right now because, again, my internet access is spotty. But crossing the 50,000 threshold is a big deal. And one of the main scary things here is just that as more and more retail purchase options become available for Bitcoin, the manipulation of the market becomes even more profitable. So, fingers crossed. If you had some investments, great, but don't put your life savings in it. Just please don't do that. All right. This other one was pretty cool. Booster blocked by brick. The demo house in Alverton, New York was constructed scan by scan. Its walls made using a giant three-dimensional printer. The demo house was built by construction firm Quad, which is spelled Sierra Quebec number 4 Delta. So SQ4D, when you print it out, it looks like squad. To show the public industry what was possible,
Now Penny is putting one appeal. The steel built house by town overhead and looked pretty slow. 200,000 detached garage. The house covers some 1,400 feet or 100 square meters. The footing foundation lab. Yeah, is it any better? Sorry. I'm using AT and my bandwidth. So let me know if it's too unusable. We instruct the machine to go around and follow your floor plan each pass as we go. Anderson and his colleagues had to design and build their own printer for their house's dream. We took the idea of a plastic 3D printer and wanted to make it much larger and spit out concrete. We set racks on each side of the structure where we plan to print. For a giant gantry, our large-scale printer goes back and forth, extruding these layers one by one, stacking, building up walls. Anderson said the actual print of the walls took 48 hours, an 8-day process to build the entire home. That is significantly faster and 3% cheaper overall than a home built using standard construction methods, he said, where laborers get tow and stack block manual. With a printer, we can replace the intensiveness of those guys and extrude concrete muchier than the brick. Now, one's truck industry is thrilled at the prospect. Got 1 minute to go. Hey, there's it. They're putting up a bridge version. Hopefully, have power tomorrow. Yeah, it's dead.